States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on the show this week, we'll be hearing from Kevin Reinig, who was one of three presenters at the inaugural Youth Young Adult Dressage Sport Horse Breeder Seminar that was held at the DG Bar Ranch in Hanford, California. And we'll also be hearing from two of the participants, Nyla Venkat and Bree Kenny. They'll tell us why they chose to attend this seminar and their experiences of the new Sport Horse Educational event that is geared to youth and young professionals. And we also begin a new series on the mind-body connection with Sandy Veneman. But as always, we want to remind you that the views of the host and guests of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. But first, we have a couple of items of news for you. The Dutta Corporation's US dressage team went to Aachen in Germany to compete in the FEI Nations Cup CDI 5-star, which began on July 20th with the Grand Prix. The 2016 Olympic team bronze medalist Laura Graves, riding 15-year-old Dutch warm-blood gelding Verdadis, took second place behind Germany's Isabel Werth. The US team sat in second place after the first phase. And then in the Grand Prix special, which fell on Laura Graves' 30th birthday, she challenged Werth and Via Gold by performing a truly masterful test, which earned a score of 81.824% that catapulted them to the top of the class standings. And this, combined with the rest of the team's scores, earned the US the silver medal ahead of Sweden. And finally, in the Grand Prix freestyle, Laura and Verdadis scored 82.55% to finish in third place. And we'll have a link in our show notes accompanying this episode to an exclusive interview that we did with Laura after the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. And that was on episode 136. And we also have news from the Adequan FEI North American Junior and Young Rider Championships presented by Gotham North, which wrapped up 5 days of dressage on July 23rd at Hits on the Hudson in Saugerties, New York. The NAJYRC offered both team and individual competitions, and the championships are formulated to emulate the Olympics, being organized by the FEI and the USEF. In the Dressage Young Rider Team competition, Region 3 won the gold medal, Region 2 the silver, and the bronze went to Region 1. In the Junior Team competition, Region 7 took the gold, with Region 1 the silver, and the bronze to Region 4. And in the Young Rider Individual competition, the gold medal was won by B.B. Davis. Chase Shipka took home the silver medal and Rebecca Minger won the bronze. And in the junior individual competition, Alina Dunn was awarded the gold medal, with Christian Simonson taking home the silver and the bronze going to Tilly Jones. And now for our first guest this week. Kevin Reinig was one of the three instructors and presenters at the new Youth Young Adult Dressage Sport Horse Breeders Seminar and is here to tell us about the topics that were covered at the seminar and how this new event was received. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the importance of this. This was the first seminar bringing a new audience to some of the essentials in sport horse breeding. So give us a little overview, if you would.
Well, first of all, I was really excited to be involved with this program. I grew up on a breeding farm, and I think it's kind of a dying thing here in this country. There's not so many big breeding farms. The farm I grew up working on, we produced about 30 foals a year. So I think it's a good opportunity to introduce the young people of our sport to what it takes to produce young horses and get these horses on the ground and get them started under saddle and bring them along to a competition horse. So when the Sport Horse Committee kind of talked about developing this program, I was really excited about it, and they invited me to be one of the presenters with my background in handling. I'm on the USCF Sport Horse faculty as a instructor, so my role was to give an in-hand training demonstration. I think it's a great opportunity to give young people a glimpse into what it takes to be on a breeding farm.
Let's talk about the elements of those aspects then, Kevin, as they applied to the seminar. If you would give us an overview of what played out during the seminar.
Sure. So there were three presenters, Willie Hart, who is the training leader and the manager of DG Bar Ranch, the host of the seminar. And his role was to talk about the day-to-day life on the breeding farm, the training aspect of bringing these young horses along, from getting them started under saddle to moving them up the levels. He talked about the breeding part of it, managing stallions, managing mares, getting the foals on the ground, managing them and raising them. And that was his role. Melissa Creswick is a sport horse judge and a dressage judge, and her role was to talk about conformation and evaluating conformation. And as I said, my role is to talk about handling. When we got together on the facility, and as Willie and Melissa and I were planning this seminar, we were really excited to work together as a collaboration, because we all have backgrounds in breeding. We've all bred and produced horses and brought them along. So it was a real collaboration. We all were able to jump in and talk about the conformation of a horse or evaluate the movement of the horse and relate it back to breeding and the production of the animals and what was good and what needed to be improved. So that's kind of how it all came together and how we all work together as presenters.
And how many auditors did you have attending the seminar then, Kevin?
I think there were 24, I believe was the count, of youth auditors. And then some of them brought LaGuardians along. So I would say we probably had about 30 to 35 total.
And this was quite a young age group. Obviously, it was for youth and for young people from 14 to 27. Of this group, then, where did you find then that they most needed experience?
Well, yeah, most of them were, they were all riders, and their experience ranged, some ranged from no experience with breeding at all to some had breeding programs or had produced foals. Some had bought a young horse, a two-year-old or a three-year-old, and they had started it under saddle and were just getting it going. And some of them were already had training businesses of their own. Some of the young adults had training businesses of their own, but they were interested in the program and learning about what they do at DG Bar. And there was all different kinds. And some of the kids I had known, the younger kids I knew from competition, and some of them I had not met before. And we had people, and there was a majority of them were from California. We had quite a few from Southern California, which I was happy to see. But we had people from all over. There was a young lady from Maine. There was a young lady from Canada. So people from all over the U.S. I think a couple from Arizona.
So what did you take away from this then, Kevin, given the extent of, the age range there of the young people and of the extent of all the topics that you covered? What did you learn from it?
I thought it was a fantastic seminar. We gave these young people a ton of information. We really covered a lot of information. Some areas we just touched on different options for breeding your mares, like using frozen semen and embryo transfer and things like that. But there's maybe some areas that we could have gone in more depth, but we touched on all areas. We spent a lot of time focusing on evaluating the young horse's conformation and movement. We did try to remain focused on the fact that we're looking at this from a breeder's point of view and not make it a judge's seminar. So we constantly were tying it back to, we're evaluating this conformation. This is what's good. This is maybe where an area where it can be improved. And how do we do that? So the amount of information the kids received was tremendous. The fact that they stayed focused and were participating and giving feedback throughout the whole weekend, I thought was fantastic. And I was extremely excited to get the opportunity to collaborate with Willie Arts and Melissa Creswick. I thought we all worked together really well. We all brought something to the picture to contribute different points of view. And I think it's not an exact science. You know, everybody has maybe their own little point of view from their own experiences. And I thought we were all able to bring that to the table. And another thing that I was really excited about was the tremendous feedback from the young people. I had people coming up to me saying, you know, what can they do to get more involved in the handling aspect of handling young horses at breed shows and things like that? And, you know, where can they go to work with more young horses? And so I was able to make contact with some of the young people about that, encourage them to go get in touch with some of their local breeders and, you know, and just see what they can do to be more hands-on.
Well, certainly setting up, obviously, the prospects there for young people for the future and the kind of things that they need to familiarize themselves with, and a great learning opportunity, Kevin. So thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, taking the time to tell us about this inaugural seminar. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Chris.
And now, Neela Venkat and Bree Kenny are here to share their experiences of the seminar and why this is an important opportunity for youth and young adults to learn more about sport horse breeding and handling. Let's start with you, Neela. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wanted to attend the seminar.
Okay, so I'm Neela Venkat. I live in the East Bay, and I have 16-year-old horse named Skylar. We're currently riding pre-St. George together, and I was really interested by this seminar because I haven't had a lot of experience working with really young horses. I've had some experience with greener horses, you know, like around 5 or 6 years old, but never anything that's, you know, trying to buy a young horse, trying to evaluate a young horse. So I really wanted to see what this part of the riding world was like. And yeah, I found it a very interesting experience, and I thought it was really nice to have this whole comprehensive way of looking at young horses.
And Bree, tell us your background. You know, what's your involvement in the sport now and your experience in breeding?
Well, I've never bred for a young horse. However, though, with my trainer, Jim Curtis, I went looking for a young horse. I spent 9 months looking, and I ended up with a young Friesian Andalusian cross, who's now 5, bought him when he was 4. I also work with a lot of young horses or working with older horses that need a fresh start. I've never shown above training level due to the horses that I ride, but I have gotten the privilege to ride my trainer's Grand Prix horse to learn some of the upper level movements. And I wanted to attend the clinic because it seemed such a fascinating thing to learn more about the breeding. I had to learn some stuff about conformation going out looking at horses, but this would be a good way to get an in-depth look at all the different types of breeding and conformation and how a breeding farm really works.
So there are several different segments to the two-day seminar. What did you most enjoy and learn then, Bree, of all of those segments?
I really enjoyed the groundwork portion. My young horse had a lot of issues on the ground. He was a stallion when I bought him. And the ground segment, learning about how to work with a young horse from a foal to, you know, all the ages was very fascinating in how they teach them for the shows.
Now, how about you, Neela? What was the most beneficial for you of the weekend?
I'd say I learned the most from the conformation part of the seminar. I really enjoyed looking at the horses on the ground and then seeing them at liberty and seeing them under saddle and seeing how they would transition between the individual parts. But I'd have to say my favorite part was looking at the foals, just because they're so cute, and it's definitely a different experience to examine a foal for purchase than it is for a slightly older horse or even a young horse. I found it very interesting how the same conformation and temperament things that we were talking about when we were looking at like the 5-year-olds could transition into the very young bulls.
Absolutely. And of course, seeing that whole sort of process and having such a wealth of experience amongst the presenters there, did it inspire you to take up any one part of the sport? Did it make you interested in doing something different, Neela?
It definitely did. At the moment, I'm not looking for a young horse, but and everything that I've learned from this seminar has made it easier, I think, if I went out and was like looking at young horses or to purchase or to train. And I think just a lot of it in this sport is just trying to learn as much as you can, even if it's not directly applicable to your life right now, because it is a lifelong sport. And so I do think it was very informative and very useful for me to participate in this clinic. Definitely, I am considering buying a young horse in the future. So I hope to use the knowledge that I learned at this seminar to help me along the way.
And how about you, Bree? Were there any aspects of it that made you want to learn more about those anything specifically?
Yeah, I found the young horse breeding, like breeding for the foals, very fascinating how they paired the horses. certainly after going on a horse search, I saw how important it is to start a young horse right. So in the future, I would like to start my own. That way that I can be sure a young horse gets the best start it can. And it was very interesting to see how they handled and as a possible career in working with horses.
So what would you say would be your biggest takeaways from this then, Bree?
The start is always the most important. You know, teaching them about people and being there with them is just so important. Being there the day they're born, you know, and teaching them about how the relationship the horse and rider works and just starting them right so that they're set up for a good and happy life is just so important, even more so than I thought before.
And Neela, how about you? What were your biggest takeaways? And indeed, what would you say to other young people to encourage them to attend a seminar such as this in the future?
I'd say I have to agree with Bree that they definitely put an emphasis on the start. And as this was a young horse seminar, it really is important to see the way you start your horses and the thought that you put into breeding them and training them and choosing sires and dams and stuff. It all influences them in the long run. And I'd say for other young riders that are considering going to a seminar, you definitely should, even if you're like me and you don't have a young horse or you're not thinking of buying a young horse right now. I think it's still incredibly useful to go to these seminars because you can never learn too much. You just keep learning and it all helps you in your career. And it definitely was a lot of fun. I made some great friends like Bree. It was a very informative experience.
Anything you would like to add to that, Bree?
It was a wonderful experience. GG Bar is such a beautiful breeding farm. They've got really well-run facilities, and it's really amazing to be able to see, you know, a breeding farm at its peak in performance. And the fact that I get to meet other people who, like me, love the sport of dressage, and just to learn and grow, it's just so important.
Finally, I want to ask you both what your ambitions are in the sport, what your goals are. Neela, you first.
I'd say my goals for the sport are to keep progressing in my training and keep learning as much as I can. Hopefully in the fall and winter, I'm going to start learning some I1 movements with my horse and just keep progressing in our training and keep trying to learn as much as I can, really. I want to go to more of these seminars, and I want to be able to meet as many people as I can because I really think it's the community that makes the sport really great.
And Bree, how about you?
My ambitions are to continue my work with my young horse and my trainer. At some point, you know, I would love to do just young riders if I had the horse. I really want to continue to see myself grow in the sport, help other people on their journey as well as their horses. I would also like to be an equine dentist at some point or work my way there. And this, just learning about their conformation and all of that, these clinics are just so important for young people to attend, to learn, to see, to feel how the sport is progressing and growing because it changes with every generation.
Wonderful. Well, the very best of luck to both of you in your careers in the sport and beyond. And thank you both very much for taking the time to come on the program and share your impressions of the seminar.
Thank you so much.
And for more information about sport horse educational opportunities, please visit the website at usdf.org. And now in our education segment, we begin a brand new series called Mind Games with Sandy Veneman, who will explain how to up our mental game and improve partnership and performance through simple, proven psychological techniques, including cognitive reprogramming and counter conditioning. And this series was initially recorded at the 2016 Adequan USDF Annual Convention.
I do talks not just to help people, but to make life better for their horses, because if you're a better rider, it's nicer for the horse. So how I got into psychology, I was teaching chemistry at St. Louis University, and I used to show jumpers, and I had this wonderful horse, and we would win literally like every class, every weekend. And there was one show in St. Louis called Bridal Spur, and they gave out decent prize money. But in order to get decent prize money, you had to pay a fairly hefty entry fee in my economic terms. And so I would go to that show, and it's like same people you show with every weekend. My horse would always win. At that show, I would knock down the first jump every single year. So eventually I figured, this is not the horse. This has got to be me. So I read a little bit all about sports psychology, and then being the not stupid person that I am, you could get tuition remission at St. Louis U, which meant if you work there, you could go to classes for free. I'm like, I'll get a PhD in psych so I can ride better. And so that's basically how that happened. I liked all the nerdy classes in the psychology program. So for the most part now, I teach brain chemistry at the university, where I teach as well as classes like animal behavior and principles of learning. So that's my background. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Just think about it silently. Okay, question number one. Kenya is found on what continent? Number two, what are the opposing colors of the piano keys? And then jot down the name of an animal, not a personal name like Joe, but a type of animal. You were supposed to have written down zebra, but it doesn't work well with horse people. If you talk to normal people, what happens when you have these questions, you're thinking Africa about Kenya, and then you're thinking black and white about piano keys, and so they all write down zebra. So someday, I will quit doing this with my horse people. And before I said write down the animal, not Joe, people would just write down like the name of their dog. All right, the next thing I want you to do for a little demo, I want you to think about the first time you ever saw a pony. Okay, and what do you think you'll be doing a year from today? So this is what should have happened. When you thought about the past, most people lean back a little bit. And when you think about the future, you lean forward. So it's not a conscious thing, but it generally happens. And why does it happen? It's because your body and your brain are both your body. So we've been taught in Western society that the mind and the body are different things, and they aren't. So your mind is a product of your brain is part of your body. We got stuck with this whole thing because of this dude named Descartes. Oh yeah, I hate him. So anyway, he was a French philosopher, very famous, and he said the mind and the body are the same thing. Well, he lived around the time that the Catholic Church was very, very powerful, and there were people in the Catholic Church that said, bad idea, Descartes. No, not all one thing. Mind, body, soul. You can have the mind, but we want the soul. So he wrote in French instead of in Latin, so he wasn't talking to other intellectuals. He was talking to real people. That's why they got so upset. So they finally came to him and said, you keep talking about this mind and body thing being the same thing, we're going to cut your head off. And he said, I was so mistaken. The mind and the body, completely separate things. So then he started writing about how the mind and the body were separate things. And he became so famous that there was a wealthy princess person way up north, like in Scandinavia, and she decided to kind of buy him as her private tutor. And so he went up to Scandinavia, and he wasn't really prepared for the weather. And he ended up dying, basically because he got sick and died because it was so cold in the castle. And so this is a part of the story that I love the best. Because in order to ship him back home to France, he was too long for the coffin, so they had to cut off his head. And they actually cut off a finger or two to save as like a prize on the way back. But anyway, so we've got stuck with this mind, what we call the mind-body problem, because of Descartes from long, long ago. So most of us think about the mind and the body being separate, but it's the same thing. So what happens inside your brain is going to have an influence on your entire body all the time. So I'm going to give you just a couple more little examples so that you hopefully will believe me. So there's this chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin, if you're a female and you give birth to a baby, it's what causes the contractions that pushes the kid out. For those of you who've had that experience that you have a child, it's not a particularly pleasant experience. Okay, so this oxytocin contractions, the baby pops out. Well, if you're just thinking about that, it's like, you know, most people would hate their child. The first experience I had with them was really painful and negative. But the thing is, in the brain, that same chemical makes you bond. So if you have oxytocin in your brain, you love whatever happens to be around. And so evolutionarily, it should have been the baby, not like your horse in the barn. But that particular chemical is going to actually make you bond with what is ever close. All right, so that's kind of the background in terms of the brain is part of the body. So if we can change the way we think, we can actually change our brain chemistry, and you can change how you ride. That's assuming that you're not perfect yet. So in terms of riding is a team sport, and so that's kind of unique, and it's a blessing as well as a curse. So how your horse evolved is going to have an impact on your communication, and how you've had background experience is going to have an impact on how you communicate with your horse. So us being probably the more cognitively advanced, or at least we like to think so, it's kind of up to us to set the tone. This is a very common thing that I work with people on, is that I'm not sure if you've ever noticed, but there's usually a bear in the judge's stand according to the horse. All right? Now, I personally have never seen the bear, but I've had plenty of horses who have. For some reason, they seem to like to do strange things around dressage rings, even like at big shows. Very unusual. So they will do things like empty large chests of coolers with ice, or take that gator, zoom, behind the judge's stand, kind of halfway hide, and then zoom, back out when you come up the center line. So it's important, if you have something that's going to potentially scare your horse, that you plan for it, but not in the way that most people are going to plan for it. So you're not going to plan for it by like, oh my God, here comes that gator. Oh my God, here comes that gator. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So as soon as you start to do the oh my God internally, you start getting really tense in your body, because remember, your brain and your body are the same thing. And so as soon as you start getting tense in your body, your horse communicates kinesthetically. He feels your tenseness, and your horse goes, oh my God, she saw the bear. And so then when your horse starts freaking out, you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. But the horse thinks you're gonna die because of the bear. You think you're gonna die because of your horse. Your horse has no idea that you're scared of your horse, okay? It's like, why would she be scared of me? It's mommy, she loves me. Okay, so it's a vicious cycle behavior. So usually it's the rider gets tense, the horse gets tense, the rider gets more tense, the horse gets more tense, and somebody's got to stop that cycle. And so hopefully that's going to be you.
And finally, we have some reminders for you that the current competition season ends on September the 30th of 2017. So please make sure you check your scores at usdfscores.com. And if you locate any errors, please contact the USDF. All corrections to the scores must be reported to the USDF no later than October the 15th of 2017 at 5 p.m. Eastern. And the new USDF National Education Initiative deadline for grant applications is approaching. Connect with your GMO and let them know which USDF National Education Initiative event formats you would like to see in your area. Those possible formats include riding clinics, symposiums, rider tests, adult camps, or unmounted educational events. A limited number of GMO grants are now available for events to be held in 2018, and the deadline for application is September the 1st, 2017. And again, you'll find more information on the USDF National Education Initiative on the website at usdf.org. And that's it for this week's episode. Don't forget, if you follow us on social media, you'll hear when the next episodes are available. All the episodes can be downloaded from the iTunes podcast store, and they're available on any podcast app such as Stitcher. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.